Hola, ¿cómo andan? What is the Cuban attitude to food? It's an interesting question. And I don't pretend that I know and that I could speak for all Cubans, but certainly from my experience, it's an interesting relationship that Cubans have with food. It occupies much of their waking day, either thinking about it, sourcing it, preparing it, cooking it, or enjoying it, or moaning and complaining about it. Because food in an average Cuban family is probably the biggest expenditure that they have on their monthly budget, food gets talked about a lot and it preoccupies a lot of their time and their energy. And putting a good meal, particularly an evening meal, on the table is of huge importance to a Cuban. That permeates everything that they do. So you'll often hear Cubans talk about they have one job to pay for the food and they have another job to pay for everything else. The most important job being the one that pays for the food. The change that I've noticed in the time that I've been coming to Cuba, a little over, I think it's six, nearly 7 years now, is that food has gone through a little bit of a change where it's moving away from being about the functional nutrition based entity, and it's moving more into the pleasure zone, I suppose you'd call it. Cubans are beginning to eat out in restaurants. They're beginning to appreciate cuisine or the value of going to an interesting restaurant and eating something new and unusual. And that's something really new for the generation of Cubans that have grown up with the revolution. For older Cubans, you know, friends my age in their 40s, the relationship that that Cuban has with food has gone through many, many, many iterations over the years, from being in the first years of the revolution where it was bountiful and plentiful, and the beginnings of the equal distribution of wealth amongst the country meant that people who were poor benefited considerably, to the lean years of the periodo especial, the special period after the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 89, and the subsidies that Russia was sending to Cuba drying up overnight, and food subsidies in particular. And that period for people of my age was extremely difficult, where Cubans were undernourished. They certainly weren't malnourished, but they were certainly undernourished. And it was a very, very difficult time for parents of young children, particularly. There's nothing worse for a parent than not having sufficient food for your child. And I know that many parents went hungry many a night in order to make sure that what they had went to their children. Coming out of the 90s and later from talking with my friends and my family here in Havana, there, and certainly the opening up of tourism and bringing hard currency into the country again, food went through another change where I suppose in Irish terms, the shamrocks and shillelaghs, the kind of green of Ireland, you know, the packaged up Ireland, which would appeal to a certain tourist community, probably Americans. Cuba kind of went through a branding and a packaging process of criollo food, and it was all about authentic Cuban criollo food and serving that to the tourists and making sure that it was very, very Cuban. Lots of beans, lots of rice, lots of marinated meats cooked, fried on a grill or cooked on a barbecue. And from that, for quite a long time, certainly in the tourist area, that culture of criollo food has persisted, so that if you spend any appreciable length of time in Cuba, you end up being really quite sick of beans and rice and meat. So interestingly, particularly in the very recent past, I'm talking probably only 2 years, and certainly in the last 6 months, since the deregulation of of small enterprise and the opening up of all of these new paladars and restaurants around Cuba, there's a very interesting change afoot. People are realizing, restaurant owners, paladar owners are realizing, you know what? These tourists, they do not want to eat the same stuff every night of the week. And if I'm going to make my restaurant stand out versus Jose's paladar down the road, I need to do something that's a little bit different. And to that end, the Cuban relationship with food has changed again. So now they're looking to the outside for influences. They're looking to the outside world in terms of culinary technique, in terms of presentation, in terms of experimentation. And they're using those ideas with Cuban ingredients, with Cuban resources, which are poor at the best of times. And they're producing something that's very, very interesting. And I'm seeing the beginnings of a lot of fusion cuisine, a lot of mixing it up, using Cuban basics and putting a twist on it, or using a cooking method like pressure cooking and changing the ingredients a little bit and using more herbs and aromatics. And that's indicative of an explosion in creativity in food in Cuba right now. It's not all brilliant, it has to be said. And you really need to know where to go to find the good stuff. But if you have a good guide, if you've read widely, if you get outside of the tourist resorts even, you will find some very interesting changes in terms of Cubans and a Cuban relationship with food. Bring it back to the ordinary Cuban outside of, I guess, the tourist scene. What are the changes that I would see there? I see it getting more, the relationship growing and deepening, and there's an interest in the average house about preparing food. You know, there's cooking programs back on TV now, and people are interested in different techniques and different flavors, and they're experimenting in on their own micro level at home. But there's also a difficulty, which is food is becoming quite expensive. And that poses a real challenge for the average Cuban, because it limits what they can source, what they can buy. But Cubans are nothing if inventive. And even on limited resources and limited means, they can produce pretty awesome food. They do, my friends, I eat quite a lot of, I suppose, vegetarian food in Cuba, partly for health reasons, partly because I'm just not a big fan of meat. But when I don't put meat on the table in my house for a meal, there's still a deep intake of breath going, oh, there's no meat. And you can see the furtive looks from one to the other going, this is a foreigner who doesn't put meat on the table. What is going on here? Because to a Cuban, meat is a central part of a meal. I mean, you don't have la comida. The dinner is not a dinner unless there's meat in it. Okay, fish, you can have fish in there, but it ain't a meal if there's no meat. So I think there's an interesting opportunity probably for people to learn about nutritional value of alternatives to meat protein particularly, and experimenting maybe in that arena. To that end, my landlady, Teresa, she's become one of my greatest fans, because whenever I'm cooking in the house, particularly if I'm cooking something new, I let her know and she'll come and sit in the kitchen and we'll chat while I'm cooking so that she can learn how to cook it as well. And we'll write up the recipe together for her so that she can replicate it. And I know that she's made my Cuban black bean burgers, which she thinks is just a revelation. And I can see that many Cubans in the future, probably out of necessity, we'll have to experiment a little bit more in order to put food on the table, because the way things are going, their wages are still the same. Food is getting more expensive and something is going to get squeezed. So yeah, the food, the relationship of Cubans with food is very, very complex. I mean, in this little audio of a couple of minutes or whatever it is, it's very difficult to get under the skin of it. But I hope I've given you a little bit of an insight into the relationship and the changing relationship. Who knows? I might be recording the same, I might be asking myself the same question in 6 months' time and it'll have all changed again. But that's the fun of Cuba. No 2 days are the same and something new happens every day and it keeps you on your toes, and it's one of the aspects I absolutely adore about this country. Hasta luego. Until next time.